How many of you had some caffeine before you came to church this morning? Excellent, because you're going to need it, because I got a little job for you this morning. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, okay? 30 seconds. And I want you to think silently to yourself, or you can sort of whisper and work with the person next to you. I want you to think about, maybe even write down, who you consider to be the most influential, powerful people in this world, okay? I'm not going to put any rules on it. You can pick a person, you can pick a family, you can pick whoever you want. It's whoever you think is the most powerful person or people in the world. So you can think in your head, you can write down, scribble in your bulletin somewhere, whatever you want to do is fine. And a lot of times when I ask a question, I like to hear your answers. But I'm going to give you the Sunday off. You don't have to answer back to me today. We'll save that for another time. But so you can just keep your list of names to yourself. So does everybody understand your assignment? Think of the most powerful people in the world that you can think of. Ready? Okay. So all right, so do you have some names in mind? Did you get distracted by the Jeopardy theme? All right. So if I were a betting woman, I would bet that about 96.8% of the people that you thought of, that you put on your list, probably they're CEOs, or they're politicians, or they're celebrities, or they're athletes, right? They're probably the kind of people on your list, who have access to vast amounts of money. They have a legion of people at their beck and call, and they have an almost unlimited supply of influence over the people around them. Because that's what power's all about, right? It's the ability to become or to affect change over something. In other words, the power to start a trend, or the power to change people's behaviors or their patterns of thinking. The Greek word for power is dynamis, from which we get words like dynamite, which certainly has the power to affect change. And the word dynamic, right? It's hard to be a powerful person if you're not dynamic or charismatic in one way or another, because who wants to follow a boring leader, right? Powerful people are dynamic people, able to affect and to change the world around them. So back in the time of Acts, if you had asked, you know, if I'd have been preaching back then, if I had asked those of you who were gathered there to make a list of the most powerful people in the world, Saul would have been at the top of everybody's list. Saul was a man of deep convictions, right? He was the Hebrewest of the Hebrews. Zealously and jealously guarding the traditions and the rules and the regulations of Judaism. He had a deep faith, and he wanted to protect that faith. And so as a young man, he quickly rose through the ranks of the religious leaders and became a Pharisee. You might even say he's the Phariseest of the Pharisees. And if ever someone was out of line, Saul the Pharisee was the first to point out what was wrong and to turn them around and to set them back on the straight and narrow path to good behavior. And Saul had legions of people who supported him and followed his example. So zealous was Saul, in fact, that he began to persecute people of the way. Now, the way is what was the church before it was called the church. So the very first believers in Jesus were the way. And these were the very people Saul began to persecute. Because in his eyes, these followers of the way, they broke all the rules. They didn't follow any of his rules when it came to faith in God. And it was Saul, if you're familiar with Saul's story, it was Saul who stood guard over the cloaks of the soldiers who were stoning Stephen. Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr in Acts chapter 7. And then if you keep reading into Acts chapter 8, it says Saul was ravaging the church by entering house after house, dragging off men and women, and he committed them to prison. This was one bad dude, one bad, misguided guy. He started out with good intentions, right? His intentions were to protect the faith and were to lead others to the same faith that he had. But his faith had taken a terrible turn for the worse. But instead of punishing him, for it, God chooses to use Saul. God chooses to use and to redirect all of Saul's passion and his zeal and his devotion for God's own holy and powerful purposes. So God's power turns Saul's world upside down. And in a flash of heavenly light, the mighty and powerful Saul finds himself powerless, lying in the middle of the road, blinded. And he has to be led by the hand, like a child, to the house of Ananias. Ananias, who's the exact kind of follower of the way that Paul has been persecuting left and right. And Paul comes humbly to Ananias' house, seeking to be healed. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Right off of the world's most powerful people list, Saul has fallen. Now, we don't really know what Saul was expecting from his visit to Ananias. But we do know that Ananias was scared out of his mind to meet Saul, who was public enemy number one of his church and his faith. But because God always kind of turns things upside down when we least expect it, we discover that though God had blinded Saul's eyes, it was actually his heart that was opened in this Damascus Road experience. And in a similarly unexpected way, Ananias's heart is opened to see Saul not as public enemy number one, but as a brother in the faith. So Ananias is this huge part of Saul's transformation from being the biggest persecutor of the church to becoming, who does he become? The Apostle Paul. He goes from being the biggest antagonist of the church to becoming the biggest advocate and defender of the church. Gosh, only God can do something like that. Completely turn things upside down. And you know what? Instead of using the rich and the famous and the CEOs and the celebrities, God uses an ordinary, everyday guy like Ananias. He uses Ananias to turn this world upside down, and he does it all the time. What Ananias does is this radical thing. It's this simple thing. It's this powerful thing. This being open to making peace with an enemy. What he did was much more powerful than all of the breathing out murderous threats that Saul ever did. It was the making peace that was powerful. And I think it's exactly the kind of thing that you and I can do if we choose to. So I've been pondering these dynamics of power for a while now in preparation for this series of sermons that we're going to be sharing together for the next couple of weeks. And we're going to be talking about how God's power turns the world upside down, turns it on its head in an unexpected way and through unexpected people. People like you and me and Ananias, and not so much through the CEOs and the politicians and the celebrities and the athletes and whoever else it was you might have put on your list from this morning. And the more I think about it, the more I am convinced that you and I have much more power than we think we do. I mean, you probably didn't put yourself down on your list, right, of most powerful people in the world. But the more you read the Bible, the more you hear God's story, the more you see that God always chooses to act through ordinary folks like us. And through his acts of power, through us, we can affect dynamic change, and we can be a part of God's plan to turn our world upside down. Now, I got to stop here for a second, because I have a prickly question that I need to ask you. Not because I particularly like to ask prickly questions, but because sometimes prickly questions force us to be honest about things we'd rather not be honest about. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we need those prickly questions to kind of open ourselves up just a little bit. So I'll warn you ahead of time so you can brace yourselves for the question. We know, right? We know that we should be like Ananias, right? And we know that we should want to be like Ananias. But more often than not, we're a lot more like Saul than we are Ananias. So deep in your hearts, where have you, like Saul, gone astray? When has your zeal and your enthusiasm and your good intentions and your power actually led you to kind of persecute other people when they maybe didn't follow your rules? We're all guilty of this, I'm afraid. We all become so involved and so passionate about something that we, without even knowing it, we start to scold or we start to persecute those who don't agree with us. And those who maybe don't want to follow the rules that we want to have in place. We do this in the church. Every single congregation I have ever been a part of has had its own blind spots. Those places where hearts have been hardened toward fellow brothers and sisters in the faith when they don't quite measure up to our standards. We're all guilty of it. Sometimes our zeal, which is good to have, our passion, which is good to have, sometimes it gets the best of us. And so the risen Christ is asking us the same question that he asked to Saul on that road to Damascus. And he says, "Why do you persecute me?" When we persecute people this way, it is as though we are persecuting Christ himself. When we belittle someone, we belittle Christ. When we dismiss someone, we dismiss Christ. When we are indifferent to someone, we are indifferent to Christ. And we may not be breathing out murderous threats like Saul did in our story from today, but how we treat others matters. It matters an awful lot. There is great power in your zeal and your passion and your enthusiasm. And there is a tremendous potential for God to use your zeal and your passion and your enthusiasm for His holy purposes. You can be a part of God turning the world upside down and creating dynamic change in His name. But first you must invite God's power into your lives. You need a road to Damascus kind of experience so that the eyes of your heart would be opened and so that you, like Saul, who becomes Paul, might be transformed from the inside out. So if maybe this morning you're squirming a little bit because of the prickly question that I asked you, maybe you're ready to work on this a little bit this week. And so maybe your prayer this week could be that God would remove the scales from your eyes, that you might see the blind spots that you have because your zeal has just kind of gotten the best of you. Ask God to show you those places where a little bit of repentance can go a long way. People of God, you have so much more power than you think you do. You have the power to make peace. You have the power to lift up those who are broken down. You have the power to make a difference in just one person's life. You can be someone's Ananias and bring healing. You have more than enough zeal and passion and power to turn this world upside down. And I know that because I have seen it and I have heard it in my conversations with you. And I haven't even been here a week yet. And I already know this about you. But here's the thing. We have to remember, it's not really your power. It is the power of God through the Holy Spirit who is working in you and working through you. It's God using your zeal and your passion and your enthusiasm for His purposes. And it's God opening and softening your hearts. And this morning, He is inviting you. He is summoning you to be a part of His power and to be a part of His purpose here in Portsmouth. He is inviting you to turn this town upside down in His name. He is inviting you to love each other and to love even the most unlovable person in your life. And He is inviting you to bring the hope of our risen Lord Jesus Christ to the people who need hope the most. And friends, there's a lot of people who need some hope. And it's not always an easy task, this loving others and this bringing hope. But you are exactly the kind of ordinary and maybe even a little bit unlikely people that God has chosen from the beginning of time to turn this world upside down and to change it in His name. Just as you are, with your zeal and your passion and your enthusiasm, God can use you for His holy purposes. He's calling your name. Will you come and follow Him? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.